was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night falls in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom and Lori on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. We are trying to resurrect, restore, revive, retrieve, regroup, recuperate, retake this republic ASAP, because the enemy has a different plan. And we see that plan in the trials that are going on with Tom LaGuevara and all the other people out there who are being persecuted, from Oregon to Nevada to New York to Florida to Texas to Kansas to just, I mean, every state has its tyranny. And it's like there's tens of thousands of little federal tyrannies all set up and all going on everywhere else. They don't make the news. They don't make the big epic standoff. There's only a few cases that get the limelight like this, so it's important that we make our voice known and we follow these episodes that are going on, these unlawful prosecutions that are taking place in Oregon and Nevada. So anyway, we have Lori with us. We had John Land before. I want to thank John for being on tonight. Excellent reporting, excellent courtroom observing. We also have a caller. I guess let's get to the caller so we don't make them wait too long. Was it Andy in Texas? Are you with us, sir?
Yeah, it's Andy in Texas. You know, this is an atrocity against the Bundys and the Hammonds and Levinikin Lavoie. What an atrocity that was, shot in the back three different times. And all he was doing was trying to protect the people in his truck. This is just terrible. And frankly, you know what? You look at the Declaration of Independence and you read what they said in there that ticked them off enough to revolt against the King George of England and whatnot. And then you look at what's happening to us today. You have to say enough is enough. It is over with. We got to do something about this. I mean, Harry Reid, he just wanted to sell off the land for some solar energy to the Chinese people that the Bundys were had from 1890s and on to graze their cows on and stuff. He wasn't looking. Nobody. There was no hostility there and whatnot. That should have never ever happened. And they did this and they pulled it off. And then Harry Reid comes out and says these people are domestic terrorists and whatnot. That's, you know, I'll say it, BS. And then you go up there. These people are standing their ground in Oregon for water rights. They backburned a fire or something to keep their land from burning up and whatnot, and so they were busted for that, and then these people stood their ground in this sanctuary or whatnot. And then this Levinikin Lavoie, or I'm probably missing that name up, but this guy, you know, is... Well, what a wonderful guy. Could you even think of another person that's actually a man that did what he did? Threw his arms up, got out the car, led everybody away from the truck where he had other people in and drew attention to himself and got himself killed for that. I mean, what a man. This guy is an absolute man. And my point of intent here is that these people are out of control. These people running our government, this BLM, this EPA, this FDA, all this stuff is out of control, okay? And, you know, I'd really like to think that Donald Trump's here to fix that, but he can't fix this. This has been 100 years in the making.
Hey, Andy, can I stop you for a quick second? This is
absolutely
where we need to educate. This is where we need to educate ourselves. It's not Donald Trump. It's Congress's responsibility to do this. And we need to call our congressman. We keep giving it all to the president. He's not a dictator. It's Congress's responsibility. We need to know the duties of those in Washington and hold their feet to the fire. And that's what I'm hearing mainly up here is our intelligence level is not where it needs to be of who does what. And that's why I interrupted you. I don't want to embarrass you or put you on the spot. But just that's an example of what I'm seeing. It's Congress. And we need to hold our congressman responsible for this part of it. Donald Trump only has limited duties. But I'll let you go on. I'm sorry. I had to do that one.
Let me put in my 2 cents. I see where you're both coming from. I think the caller was saying that because, Lori, even Congress may not be able to fix this. I think the caller was making the point, which I do quite often, which is the fix is local. The tyranny of the local, the county, and the state is just as bad, if not worse. The gun laws right now are way worse in New York State than they are in the federal statutes. The restrictions, you can't have more than 10 rounds in your clip. That's not a federal thing. That's a state thing that they're arresting people for. So, you know, it's the tyranny of the local. I think the caller is saying that, you know, whether it be Trump or whether it, like you said, Lori, Congress, I would say neither of them might be able to fix it because the tyranny is so to trickle down to the lower level and built really so ensconced at the town and county that you gotta, you know, you can fix the federal problem and still be living under the tyranny of the local.
Okay. And it's all of them. But we just need to know
we can't necessarily dip right into what Trump and the Congress is doing, and they may do what they do regardless of what we want. But we can have direct contact with our local representatives and our local enforcers and re-educate them, hopefully, before we have to put them in re-education camps.
Well, but I think all three of us have made a valid point here. The point of the matter is,
caller, did you want to continue, Andy, in Texas? Anything else?
Yes, I do want to continue.
Continue on.
Okay. No, I think all three of us have made a valid point here. I think the number one thing is that states
Andy,
have mistaken. I'm still here.
Freedom Screamer, am I with us?
Go ahead, Andy.
Okay. Well, no. What I'm saying is, I think all three of us have made a very valid point. And I also think that the big problem here is that states have taken the 10th Amendment and ran it past what it really is. And that's how we get all these codes and ordinances and statutes and whatnot that are prohibiting us from doing a lot of these things. I mean, there should be no gun law. I mean, the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary for a free state, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Wait a minute. Just think about all the stuff that are infringing on that. I mean, I don't even have to name them. I could name them. It'd take me an hour to do it. But they have all these different infringements on that. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against all searches and seizures, but upon probable cause specifically, supported and defended by a warrant of affirmation, being specifically stating what is to be searched and seized. I mean, all these things are being deterred by the state. The federal government might tell the state, look, we're going to cut your funding off if you don't violate these rights. But we're being violated left and right on this stuff. And I think that's exactly what happened with the Bundys, and I think that's what happened with the Hammonds. I mean that was an actual federal area in the Hammonds' specific area where they were just trying to make a stand. They didn't hurt nobody. They weren't shooting no guns. They weren't doing anything. And these people are in jail right now. The Bundys, they had their grazing rights from 1890s up to the point where they are. And these and Harry Reid was able to run out several dozens of other ranchers that had the same rights as him, and they bankrupt them. And Bundys stood their ground. And this is just absolutely ridiculous. We've got to get back to the Constitution. And these people in Congress who keep saying they're under the Constitution and doing this and doing that, they only use the Constitution when it means something to them, when it's right. actually usable to them. They're not using it. We can't use it. I've been in court before, and they won't let me use the Constitution. You know why? Because we're under UCC. Code. Okay, it's Uniform Commercial Code. It's not the Constitution. And the way you get out from under that, you make them determine to you when you get in the courtroom, the very first time you go in the courtroom, you have to get them to justify their jurisdiction, whether it's UCC or it's the Constitution. And then you also have to be able to question the jury. You can't allow a jury to go in there that doesn't understand the Constitution. And a lot of these people, and you know it as well as I do, nobody was taught the Constitution. Anybody who knows anything about the Constitution found out the information on their own. So you have to get the jury to understand what the Constitution is. And the judge doesn't want to let you do that. And if you're defending yourself, they want to give you a test before they allow you to defend yourself. And that's just pathetic. And in the Constitution, it specifically states that you have the right to have somebody to help you defend yourself, but you need to defend yourself, pretty much. So, and how do you defend yourself if we're under a constitutional court system and whatnot, and yet you cannot, they're giving you tests provoking you. You can't even argue the Fourth Amendment right prior to going to trial without them interrupting you, saying you may incur it. You might bring yourself down here, buddy. Slow down, stop. You might say something that's not going to help you out here. And they do it all the time. They stop you all the time. Yeah. I've been in court many times. Anyway, I just wanted. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to let you know something that in the opening statements to the jury, Judge Anna Brown brought up the Constitution and brought the Constitution into the court case. So they are under the court. They are under the Constitution by her own words.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Opening statements to the jury. So I wanted to give you that little bit of win for the people that was brought in the first day. I did hear that with my own ears.
Well, but that puts in fact in progress here is that their first 10 amendments of the Constitution is there for their use now. That is fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
You guys have a great night.
Thank you, Andy in Texas. What a great call, man. You were spot on. I don't think you said one thing that I disagree with. You were exactly... You were exactly correct on all that. Appreciate it. Check in with us again sometime. Lori, any more comments on Andy?
No, he was exactly right. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but he was exactly right with what we need to do and what's going on in the courts. And what I was trying to say before the break is all of us need to take advantage of this learning lesson that we're all going through within the country, actually globally. We don't have to do the diesel therapy that I'm doing. All of us live in a city, a county, a state that has court cases. And you can go straight up to the directories, look at what court cases are going on, and go sit in a court case and be a body to help someone in a court case. Talk to them. We have a lot of people on the streets coming up and asking us what's going on. And learning about the case, learning what's going on. Some are even sitting in the court. Everybody sitting in that court helps that defendant. Every single one that's sitting in there. And that's what we need to do. Or if it's the prosecution and it's a case that really does need to be prosecuted, go sit in that as well. there's always two sides to everything that's going on. And it's time we all started going, like we go to meetings, to the court cases. It's really helping those that are doing a lot of diesel therapy right now to have us there. I mean, these Jake Ryan came from Montana. I know Daryl Thorne's from out of state, and I know that Dwayne Eamer is also from out of state. Those are the, and Jason Patrick, I believe, is from Georgia. So all four of them are from other states and had to come to Oregon for this court case. So not only did they come to Oregon to defend these farmers, they're having to come to Oregon again and defend themselves now. So, you know, I'm not alone in this. Tom's not alone in this. All of these guys are not alone in this. But imagine if you were. It would be so nice if somebody in the local area would go and stand with you, talk to you, help you, even just moral support sitting in that courtroom. I can't tell you how much it means to each of the defendants. They thank us every day. We pray every morning before we go in. They're amazing. They've got, like John said, they have great attitudes. They're going in there ready to win this. And it's an amazing experience. It's a hard experience. But we've got this going on in Nevada. We've got it going on in Eugene. And we've got it going on in Portland. And we've got to see what we can do to help everyone. That's where we're at right now.
Excellent point, Lori.
Courtroom observer.
You got to have courtroom observers. It's the most important. I think it's the most important piece of political activism people can do, because once again, you can incorporate jury nullification education into this most crucial. It's the last line of defense, and it works every time. Jury nullification, if it's exercised, it always works. It's the ultimate activism. I found it very interesting. As I was just, our last caller mentioned the Declaration of Independence. Of course, we have the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And the Constitution is loaded with problems and issues that I have with it that aren't exactly on spot on, or, you know, they could have a little more teeth, certain restrictions for the government. There should have been penalty. There wasn't. It's like a bill of suggestions instead of something that's mandatory. And that's why the corporate government's able to disrespect it, dismiss it, and just disregard it so completely and so totally. But anyway, so I wanted to see in my Black's Law Dictionary, it's the one dictionary that I had closest right now, and as I opened it up, I wanted to find a copy of the Declaration of Independence. They do have a copy of the Constitution of the United States. It should be the Constitution for the United States, but they call it the United States Constitution. And they list it out, and no Declaration of Independence in Black's Law Dictionary. I thought that was very interesting. They put the Constitution in there, but no Declaration of Independence. What they do put in there, I found very interesting. Very way at the back of Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition. Table of British Regnal Years. Sovereign. William I, October 14th, Ascension, 1066. William II, Sovereign. Ascension, September 26th, 1087. Length of years, 13. Henry I, Ascension on August 5th, the year 1100. Length of his reign was 36 years. Stephen, the Sovereign, ascended on December 26, 1135. He was in place for 19 years. Henry II, December 19, 1154 is when he ascended to the throne. He was in place for 35 years. Richard I ascended on September 23, 1189. He was in for 10 years. King John, May 27, 1199. He was in for 18 years. Henry III, October 28th in the year 1216. He was in for 57 years. Edward I, November 20th, 1272. He was in for 35 years. Are you getting the picture, y'all? It was very important that in Black's Law, we have the Table of British Regnal Years. That means these are all the kings. Those, what I just read off, were all the kings of England. And we had to know who they are, when they ascended to the throne, exactly on what day, exactly how many years. It took a lot of research. But no constitution, I mean, no Declaration of Independence, the most important document that we have. Did you find that interesting, Lori?
I find that very interesting. Some of the things that we're learning and some of the things that we're doing, they had a Declaration of Independence, and to think the redress of grievances that Ammon put out was never heard. And one of my key, and Thomas used to get on to me for this, and he still does, one of my key things that I get my knickers in a twist on is people write letters and petitions, but they don't write redresses of grievances. And when they do petition the government, they petition a building, the White House, instead of the proper place, the office of the president or the office of your representative you're trying to reach. And that goes all over me. It's the same thing as we just don't see these little things that they've put before us that we don't know to look at anymore. And if you're sending out those whitehouse.gov petitions, please stop and send one to the office of the president. Because it's a big joke, you can't petition a building. And
Lori, let me get you on that. You can't petition an office either. Here's what I like to do is, now this is just what I do, people can take it or leave it. I just name the person, and then I put next to their name, you put a colon, which is two dots, because that announces something. So you put like Barry Saturo, a.k.a. Barack Obama, colon, Acting President of the United States Corporation. That's how I would list it. I'd name the person, name their alias if they have one, which Obama did. His name is Barry Saturo, Gerald Ford. I would write it to his real name, apparently, was Leslie Keene. Leslie Keene, a.k.a. Gerald Ford, Acting President of the United States Corporation. That's how I would announce them. Ronald Reagan, Acting President of the United States Corporation. Or somebody, you know, George Bush. I just name them personally. It's a little more direct. And then I put, you know, acting as president. You can put their office after that. But I would almost consider that, you know, the same reasoning would apply that you put on, you can't petition a building. You can't really petition an office. You can petition a person and name their office. Just a suggestion. I didn't mean to split hairs with you, but
I think that's awesome because that's what we need to be doing is nitpicking. And I hear another break coming up.
Let's go right to Tom in Utah. He's on. Let's go. How are you doing, Tom?
Yes, this is kind of a curious side question. I believe I was involved with a case that included Shawna Cox's relatives. And, we learned a little technique in the case that we were dealing with by packing the court with the people friendly to the defendants. And I'm assuming that's happening out there with the Hammonds.
Yep, we call it courtroom observers.
Right.
And we try to speak with one voice, always back each other up when you have to go to court. Pack, like you said, pack the room with people friendly to the defense, to the accused. The only thing that the witches' court has any respect for is public pressure. You can have world-class documents. I mean perfect, bordered with the blue ink and the red where it has to be and everything just right and all perfect, punctuation, mint, everything, the best. And there will still, the witches
don't
court
forget
will still
the,
disregard.
I was going to say, don't forget the gold tassel on the flag.
Oh, God. Don't get me going on the Admiralty flag. We're not supposed to have any flags with fringe. And I was a little disturbed to hear that Donald Trump may have had some speech in front of a fringed flag, but we won't harsh on him too bad for that. We're giving him some time and see what happens. I want to see progress. I want to see Tom Lacovara go free and all these federal cases get dropped. I don't know what the problem is with the Justice Department. I mean, you know, I got to go back to calling it the Injustice Department because there is no justice there. It's the same stuff. It's the same Admiralty law garbage. But
and in the case that I prevailed, or my evidence allowed the parents who defended themselves prevailed. But I also had several newspaper reporters that were well known in that courtroom too. when the judge saw the one news reporter kind of making a funny face as the judge was actually, you know, violating the rights of the defendant, the reporter kind of twisted his face, and then the judge threw him out of the courtroom just for making a face.
Right. I mean, they're very, all kinds of double. I mean, we'd be in court there, and they'd take your water at the door. They wouldn't let us in the town of Irondequoit court with a glass, with a bottle of water. Some courts do. This one did not. And everybody, all the judge and the clerk and the secretary, they were all drinking their water, but nobody in the courtroom was allowed to have any. And we're like, you know, this is prejudicial, highly. And the judge got a little squirmy because he knew he was not in the right. They were in the wrong, denying people water and denying people, you know, the fundamental right to record with the video camera. It's public property, and you have every right, and courts have affirmed it multiple times, to video or any matter of public interest on public property. They're revoking that right. And it goes on and on and on. But you're right. The only way, my point before was, you could have the most world-class, perfect paperwork, and the witches' court will not respect it. The only thing they respect is activism, people packing the courtroom, overflowing into the lobby and out front with signs, handing out jury nullification, calling the vicar general's office, make it expensive on the people who want to stay in hiding, like the vicars and the Freemasons that bind the court. Look into the past of these judges and most of these prosecuting attorneys. Many of them are related to some club or group, private group, that is not friendly to the people of this country. And that's the problem I have with the bar. It just doesn't pay attention to justice. It pays attention to making money. And that's okay if you're, you know, you should get a good lawyer should get paid to assist somebody if they're doing really good work. Most of them rip you off and sell you out for $450 an hour like they do in New York. So... anyway, go ahead, caller. Any other comments before the bottom of the hour?
Yeah, by the way, this case, which included the Cox children, it also impacts a lot of these ranchers. So when you get a moment, please check out this issue that I prevailed on in that case for the family that was associated with the Coxes. It's on a website called 3feetfromdeath.com, 3feetfromdeath.
3 feet from death?
Yeah. It's an alias. As you open it up, you'll see other names, like manufacturedmurder.com. But this impacts a lot of those families, including the Hammonds and the Bundys as well. And I've been trying to get that issue. It's a federally created situation, just like the violations that these guys are subjected to under the government. Sorry, I'm a little tired. It's a little late for me at this time of night, but anyway, check that out. And if anybody runs into Shauna Cox, I'm assuming she's there in that courtroom because she's been involved with the Bundys and the Hammonds.
She's in Nevada. She'll be in the courtroom next week.
Excellent.
Okay, yeah. If you run into her, tell her that I called.
Stay with us. Hey, call her. We got a break. If you want to stay with us, you can. If not, okay. We'll catch you next time. Feel free to hang in there until the bottom of this hour break. And once again,
okay.
This is Eric the Freedom Streamer sitting in for Tom and Lori. Okay, we'll talk to you in a minute then on Resurrect Republic on the RBN Network. Stay with us, folks.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com. Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom and Lori. Let's go back to our caller. Caller, are you still with us?
I am still. Yes, I'm still here.
Continue,
I just wanted to say that... Hello? Hello?
Please continue.
Am I still there?
You are, sir. Would you like to continue? Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Muted. Continue.
Hello?
Sure, we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear us, caller?
Yeah, I can hear you. All right. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you this case, which included the Cox family, was in 2008. And in 2012, I got the CDC and the GAO to validate my findings. But the curious thing was, in a case 7 years prior to that, which actually got me out of retirement, I did a perfect documentation of the facts in the case where a family had lost the baby and then they were being accused of abuse and neglect in the in that death, and as well as in the failure or malaise of a second child. Even though all of my evidence was perfect and was irrefutable, we could not get the judge to even open my brief. So I learned in that first case in 2001 that the power is in the public, and so the family at that point had means to get me down to Hollywood, and I got with some of my friends in media, And Fox came up with their reporters, did a story, and pushed the story out nationally. And then the local people had to put the story out. And within a couple of days of the story going national and being fed here in Utah, the judge called up the family and asked us to come to court. She dismissed the case without prejudice, returned the state-obtained child, but, you know, dismissed the case without prejudice. But in that process, I learned the power of the press. And that's why I'm really happy to see you guys doing this with the case of the Bundys and the Hammonds.
Well, we're happy to do it. Thanks for that input, caller. Wow, that's great work. And you're once again the perfect illustration of, you know, paperwork can be the best in the world, but the court will disrespect even if they even read it. And the only thing that you can count on is public pressure. It's the only thing that the court respects or you know, makes it move to do even close to the right thing. Courts are almost never about doing the right thing. They're always about upholding the integrity of the system and doing the profitable thing. And so that's why,
when they refuse to even open or argue the facts that I presented in my brief, I turned to the family. I said, oh, there is another way to fight this battle. And that's when I got on an airplane, went to Hollywood, got with my friends. And we literally, and I also put it up on the web, published the papers, published everything. You can see that also. It's linked from that same website with that original case. But the power is in all of the facts and evidence is put onto the web. And then the judge can't deal with it because she's got an answer to the people that she lives with at her home and in her neighborhood.
Right.
And when the whole neighborhood knew that she was refusing to accept this evidence, which anybody with 3 pounds of gray matter could understand and validate, then she had to go ahead and call a supplemental hearing. She turned over the state-obtained child back to the mother and father. Like I say, she did this little game. She dismissed it without prejudice. And I turned to the family, you still have not won, because they could pull this out of the drawer while you're asleep, you know, down the road. But I said, this information is going to stay up public until that case is dismissed with prejudice.
Good point. Great point. I just was going to explain to the listeners what you're talking about. When a case is dismissed without prejudice, that means it can be retried again in the future. The charges can be brought up again. If it's dismissed, if the case is dismissed with prejudice, that means no more bringing it back. It's over and done with. Bye-bye. So that's what we're looking for, is dismissed with prejudice. And that's great work on your part to get the media involved. It's very difficult to get the media to cover cases that are friendly to the freedom movement. They almost always want to do anything to uphold the system and the seizure of the child. So you had a great success there.
And sometimes, Eric, you have to get it.
Go ahead.
Sometimes go ahead, you have to get out of the local cat box. Get out of the local cat box. Go to somebody like that may not have a commercial interest in the case.
Right.
In other words, in this community, the medical people had sided with the prosecution, so I had to get publicity of media outside of this neighborhood, because everybody had their commercial accounts and they didn't want to offend the medical cabal that actually runs the media in this state.
Oh, welcome. Join the club. You should see it in Rochester, New York, where you have Strong Memorial Hospital that actually has a whole entire chapter dedicated to it in the plutonium files. I'll get to that another night, God willing. But it's the medical experimentation and the stranglehold. The media is never going to cross the medical establishment. If you live in a big, high-powered medical community with a large hospital that employs tons of people, has all kinds of pull. And by the way, Strong Memorial has been doing radiation testing on humans without their consent or knowledge since shortly after the first atomic weapons were developed, and maybe even before. we'll get into it. We'll open up that chapter maybe tomorrow. That'll be interesting. But yeah, the medical industrial establishment is far more insidious than the military industrial establishment or complex.
And Eric,
like you just said, caller, they do have a stranglehold on the media. How you were able to get people in the media to confront the medical industrial complex is all I can say is good work.
I went to the women.
Yeah, you only get the women picked up.
In the CDC, I got the women to come to my side. And then the GAO was the women who really pushed, because they're less inclined to worry about the money. They're more worried about the family and the children. In this case, it worked for me.
Right, and they have a lot more passion. You get them fired up. It's like a hornet's nest. That was good, great work. The women can be great activists, especially when it does come to their children.
And Eric, we have Chris on the line from Las Vegas as well.
Oh, well, cool. Let's bring in Chris if we have enough room on the board. Chris in Vegas, how are you, my friend? What's going on in your neck of the woods? Any updates from down under there?
Well, good evening, Miss Laurie and Mr. Eric and everyone else on the call and the audience. I haven't been too active down at the Bundy thing, although I do pay pretty close attention, but I was involved in an imbroglio in court today that we've been working on something called the Common Law Court of Record and restoring that and by invoking it in the courts. And it seems to be having some very strong different effects than what we normally get by incorporating the state's citations in their organic constitutions, declaring the common law to be the common law of land in the states, the American du jour common law, and that, of course, activates the requirement to have an actual injured party or property, as the case may be, in order to have a case to hear your case. And it occurs to me that this might be a very powerful tool in these federal courts for the so-called patriot community, although they're really defenders of the West wildlands and the natural lifestyle of the iconic American Western cowboy and the ranchers that the West was founded upon, that produced the breadbasket for most of the world, in fact, almost all the United States, and really is what provided our ability to be self-sustaining and therefore not dependent upon our enemies to provide our food resources and the natural commodities and elements and metals and other types of things that we need in order to be an entrepreneurial, developmental society that enables to produce from within rather than having to acquire everything we need from our enemies.
Good point. I agree with that, Chris.
Well, it's only fundamental and it's basic, and if people are cognizant of what self-sustaining continual survival is about. If you can't depend upon yourselves to survive, then you must go outside your inner circle. And anytime you go out to mingle with strangers or have them infiltrated into your country, you risk a danger that they may not have the same beliefs and value systems and hold the same things near and dear to their hearts as what you do. That's essentially the basis of a culture war, which is also known as Balkanism or Balkanization, more accurately.
Yeah. Well, you know, it comes down to mutual respect. I mean, if a culture, I don't think we're saying, and I think you probably, you're not saying, Chris, that we should lock out all cultures that are different from one another. It's the cultures that differ from one another and make issues and problems with other cultures as competing with them. And I think we all know who we're talking about. You know, certain cultures turn to violence quicker than others. I would say that the Christians are less likely and slower to turn to violence, the slowest, other than, maybe the Buddhists are very, very slow to turn, other than this, very slow to turn to violence. Other cultures are quicker to turn to violence. I won't name any right now, but we can use your imagination.
Yeah, there are many different groups that claim to be religions, which are more accurately legions of men, that they're man-centric or woman-centric, as the case may be, on their belief systems, on the preposterous claims that they have a just divini or divine law right to rule and regulate people that fall under the hypnotic spell of their Bengali-like means and schemes that they put out to the belief to get the people to follow them blindly to do whatever they want. And when these people have an avowed orientation toward destroying everybody else on the planet but their own sorts of groups, and there are several different groups like that on the planet, whether they're so-called religion of peace, or which is really a religion of war and death and destruction of everybody except for themselves on the planet, has yet to be determined. But if we don't at least give some cogent examination, vetting, and qualifying those that we allow into our country, then we risk being in the same unfortunate, dramatic state that Sweden and Germany are currently in by these insane policies of the globalist New World Order agenda in destroying their cultures by bringing in foreign cultures that do not want to assimilate but want to overwhelm and dominate. Or dominate.
That's an excellent observation. I'm very reluctant to, at all, you know, in any way criticize or hinder anyone's application of their worship of a creator or a god. But Sharia law stinks. I will say that, because that's the practical earth application of what the Islamic culture, if you want to speak religion or how, whatever you want to call it. That's what the practical application of it is. It's through the Sharia law, and that I have a big problem with, because that's in complete opposition to anything to do with due process, you know, liberty, freedom, and the things that we all enjoy. So I will say that, but you know, I don't like to. Once again, I know that if somebody's truly worshiping a creator, they should be allowed to do that. But when they come out of their worship into a mode of, hey, you got to do this if you're going to be in my neighborhood, or society must do this or that, you know, that fictitious entity. We got to steer that fictitious entity and make it into something that's living and breathing, and we know we can never do that.
When you look at Sharia, you find that female genital mutilation, you find the honor killings, you find chosen weddings for the political purposes of the parents to advance their wealth and other self-interest rather than the actual love and affection that is normally what brings two people to live together or try to spend a life together, to raise families and share values and bring their children up to believe in the same sorts of values. But when their values are killing other people by chopping off their heads or their hands or whatever else they're doing, you have to kind of take a little second look at that and wonder if that's really what you want your people to be exposed to in your country.
Well, right. Great point. Great point. Did we have a caller, Betty? Is she on the line? Go for it, Betty. Oh, Reb. Reb. That's right, Reb. I thought you said Betty. Reb, are you still with us? I'm going to give Reb a couple minutes here. Reb, take it slow and keep it clean. Are you there, my friend?
U.S. Pentagon First Team, Reb from Bubba Scout, Reb. I'm just a spokesperson because Bubba don't want to talk. Her and the Scouty are two white double X chromosome females of the white race that don't want to do nothing except soak up welfare forever. And we're ticked, and we're going to do something about this problem in Colorado, which... You know, it has a history of attacking Whitey even before it was a state.
Hey, Bubba. Hey, hold on. We're not a racist show of just white and black.
But wait.
Can we get to the point in a way that... hold on. Just hear me out. Can we get to the point in a manner that other people can understand this? I'm just asking because I'm getting some complaints, and I just would like you to... go a little slower and in a manner and in words that are respectful, that we can understand your point. At this point, I personally can't understand what you're saying. Can we please do that? And I'm asking that respect.
We were attacked because we're of the white race. This is the truth. I'm not going to lie about it. These crimes are premeditated against only the white race. We got long blonde hair, pale white skin. We're not photogenic. There's three of us, and only one of them has a Y chromosome. That's me. But this is premeditated attacks because we have no community to turn to, and we're an easy target by these local Muji Haji. We call them government intruder, no intelligence. If we want to lie,
Bubba, what is the attack? Specifically, what happened?
We were witnesses, and they broke in on us and wanted to change us from being witnesses for the ones they false arrested. And
what happened, Reb? That's what we can't get at. What happened? What are the specifics of the case you're talking about? That's what I don't understand.
Well, they made a false arrest. And we don't dignify the mouth of the guinea. We don't do that. Whatever it was, we're not going to
slander. What were the charges?
It's destruction. I can mention that because it was in IRN USA News. If you don't believe us, you can call IRN USA News and ask for national correspondent John Russell. He did the story.
I'm not disputing. I'm asking what was the case and what were the charges. That's what I can't get.
Oh, yeah, destruction. We're not going to go into the details. We just say we were witnesses. There was no such thing. It was false arrest, and it was thrown out. But they believed they could attack us in our own residence and put a gun to, in this case, Bubba's head to sign statements, the part where the bullet comes out, the local Jefferson County and Lakewood Muji Haji Guinea, the PD. The constabulary, the enemies
okay.
of America.
I still can't understand you, and I'm trying to be really respectful. I had a gun to me as well, so I understand that feeling, and I understand that completely. What did they charge you with?
I told you, destruction. It was some false charge, false arrest, and we got out of it because it was false. They had no evidence. They wanted to get rid of the witnesses. We're not going to tell you the mistake was attacking us. We're not going to tell you what they should have done.
But who, what, when, and where? Because destruction, somebody can go and kill an ant, that's destruction, or somebody can go and push down a mountain, and that's destruction. What are the details of the case? Because I'm hearing words, but no specifics. I have to give you specifics on this show so you will listen and understand what I'm saying. What are
We're
the specifics of your
United
case? What I don't understand, sir.
Witnesses for the United States of America against their capital crime because they left us with evidence. I'll give you a sample.
What is their crime?
They
and where was it?
And espionage. That was their crime. We have an audio tape of us confessing to a terrorist in a conversation that never took place. And you won't even let me explain that. But we know what happened. They planted radio transmitters and got our voices, and they fabricated this on a machine run by the Colorado Bureau of Idiots, CBI, right here in Lake Jefferson. They put this
I might be able to provide some light on this for all of you, if you like.
Thank you, Chris. That would help, because I'm really lost. And I'm not trying to be rude. You know that.
No. You're being very patient, and he's sometimes a little hard to follow, but he's very well-spoken, so I appreciate his knowledge, and his observations are on point. They have a new version of Photoshop, only it's for voices. And I used to work in the military in post-production and manufacturing and putting on training tapes, and we would take the old metallic reel-to-reel tapes, and we could edit them out and make people say other things. Well, this new electronic editing machine, you can now make anybody say anything. You can take samples of their own speech and have it reconfigured electronically to make them say anything you want to say, to make them say things they never said, and give the illusion that it was them actually speaking with the same photo, the audio qualities to their voice print.
Yeah, that's what happened. And it's at the joint. Well, ma'am.
Chris, I know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Reb. What was the case about? That's where I'm totally and completely lost.
It's gone. You'll have to talk to John Russell. We're not going to give any more details. We don't slander ourselves. That's his axiom.
Okay.
Well, I get the sense that he's talking about a FISA court violation, something in the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, or perhaps domestic terrorism of the Department of Homeland Security and the Joint Special Operations Groups that work within the different states and their fusion center of their state so-called emergency action plans.
Yeah, okay, we'll take that. My point is, that's over with. Now we're witnesses for the United States of America, and they're obstructing justice. Now, there's a simple formula. Even your listeners can understand arithmetic. Witnesses against the enemy attacks plus evidence of the enemy's activities equals prosecution. That's a simple American formula. I don't understand why it would. We have to prosecute. We signed our names. They ain't going to let us out of this. They're just obstructing justice. That's why you get outraged. We're your witnesses.
The government sets people up all the time, and they're constantly obstructing justice. Look at Tom's case. That's the government obstructing
justice. They're not arguing about other actions. They do. You're right, but nobody has evidence plus witness. We got more witnesses. Former member of the Department of Justice in Greeley, Colorado. His name's on this audio. He captured it from the terrorist whose name's on the audio. It's all official business of the United States of America. And this man who just explained it will tell you it's a JAG complaint. It's not our complaint. It's a United. This is a United States Army War College plan. This is not our plan. None of this is us. All of this is official business of the United States of America, and the three witnesses listed by names in order are us three. We gave our names. We used Bubba Scout Reb because they pushed it into a call sign for the United States of America. And this is, according to inside the White House, this woman who was in the last administration knows who we are. And I know her voice now a lot. She's talked to me before. She says this has gotten in front of the eyes of Mr. Leader of the Free World, President of the United States. He's seen it. He's seen
good.
It. Now, good. It hasn't worked. He could actually go in one of his town meetings that he's going to set up more and say, did you hear about the three unknowns at Jerkwater, USA, that want to bring in military force and blast Colorado below sea level or something to that effect and wipe out the enemies?
On that word, we got to go. Reb, thank you.
Thank you, Bubba.
John Lamb, thank you. Lori, thank you. Everybody out there, thank you. Once again, this is Eric, the Freedom Streamer.
White House.
Good night, folks. This is Eric, the Freedom Streamer, sitting in for Tom Lori. All right, Reb, check in with us tomorrow, buddy. Thanks for listening, folks, to Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. See you tomorrow.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.